week on Happy Hour. Paul Fitzgerald, I understand you are an American actor, director, and writer, and also my nephew. It's my tiny baby nephew, everybody. Look at him.
Tell me you're not reading bio stats off of the internet. I mean, this is something I would assume you have by heart.
I did prep for you.
You didn't do prep for me.
I watched YouTube.
Did you prep before you talked to your mother and your
sister? Listen, I wanted to understand your body of work, Paul. See, it's a joke. He's my tiny baby nephew because he's really big and he's only. I'm going to say.
What?
I'm too old to remember, but yeah. 8 years, 9 years younger?
Give
something.
Give or take.
Right?
We would generally place you at.
Who knows? Something.
We're talking in relative terms. It's not so much specifically how old you are.
Old ish. Like the show Blackish. I am old ish. Old enough to have washed Paul's penis when he was a child in a bath. But I was not in a weird way.
No,
wasn't I? I did give you. Can we confirm you are the first Happy Hour guest I've given a bath to?
Mm-hmm. You did. And what a bath you gave.
Right?
What a rub-a-dub-dub.
Can you talk into the mic for fuck's sake?
Oh, really?
Just, are you a professional or what?
I'm not hearing anything. Are we good?
I can hear.
Great. Oh, there it is. Oh,
look at Vanessa.
I just love the sound of my
voice. Vanessa's being extra hoary.
The sound of my own voice mesmerizing. So it's best not to give me any of myself in the
monitor. Can you not hear yourself at all?
I can
really?
A little bit, yeah.
Sean, can we fix that?
No, I can hear. I can hear. It has to be this close, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah? Does that look right to you, Sean?
Okay,
great.
Yeah, right there. That's good for Vanessa.
That's a good spot.
You like that right there?
Yeah.
Okay. I've dealt with this all my life, Vanessa.
This is so dirty. This show is so dirty. I love it.
So hilarious. Fuckity, fuckity, fuck.
Fuckity, fuck. Oh, I love that too, by the way.
This show we can say fuckity, fuckity, fuck.
Yes, I'm going to get them all out tonight.
We're going to send this right to Grandma, to my mom.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I didn't realize Paul was as blue as you are.
Bluer, if that's possible.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
We work so blue. It's navy blue. You can't even see it.
This is our actual happy hour on the front deck usually.
Right.
Just doing it into microphones.
Oh, no.
Which makes it even happier.
Okay, so kids, I raised him up from a tiny baby.
Yeah.
I did. I gave him baths. You know what? I'm just going to block that part out. Mm. But, right. But I did.
Just
I taught him.
Fellow.
I taught you improv. Remember?
Yeah.
When you used to be doing your Fonzie impressions. And
In the old house. You'd come back from school. I think you were at USC at the time.
Yes.
We'd play different improv games. The basics of improv. It was a sort of a training regimen. It wasn't easy. You had to sort of, and I think everyone else got cut except for me.
Your family blames me for you being an actor and also being a, bi.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
On the straight train. It's bi visibility week. Good thing the camera's on. Hey.
Hi. we have so many stories, but okay.
Yeah.
Should we start with coming out Christmas? Because we both came out to our families.
We're like competing coming out Christmas.
Yeah.
The same Christmas.
Suck for me. Yes.
Yeah. Talk about upstaging. Talk
about
my big sister, my oldest sister, Libby, who's his mom.
Yeah.
Do you know what took me to gin that shit up, kids? Yeah. I was like a mess.
Just weeping.
Just weeping.
A cheer.
Ready to. And I was like, Libby, I'm. And she's like, oh, Steffi, Paul's gay. I was like, wait, what the fuck? God damn it, Paul. And not even then, she didn't understand. Bye. But anyway.
In isolation, it would have been special. If you were told by yourself, it would have stood out. It would have been important.
Fucker took my spot. Like, I'm like, who gives a shit about Paul? Listen to me.
Yeah. No, no, no. You don't want to be competing. You don't want to be competing with me on the coming out. That blew things out of the water.
Yeah.
For a good decade or more.
That was a Christmas. Yeah. Well,
you lay the groundwork with the gay thing, then the bi thing only seems half as bad.
Like, oh, all right. Wow.
That's funny.
true or false.
All right, well, so, all right, where are we? Let's see. Where do we start? I can't believe I have a show prep on my nephew.
Sheets of paper. Piece of paper. Feel free to ask me. I'm right here. You can't always trust the internet, you know? God only knows.
Okay. But you can confirm that we kid. I am wildly proud of you.
Oh, and vice versa.
Okay.
Well, I sent this to so many people, to all like 300 of my Twitter followers.
Wow. My LA Weekly cover. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good time. Oh, it was a great article. It really was. I loved it. I got moved to tears.
Oh, thank you, Angel. Me too. Okay, so speaking of being moved to tears. So my tiny baby nephew, Paul.
Yes.
Have you met him? Here he is. He's going to sing for us later.
Oh, yeah.
Vanessa.
Yeah.
Prepare to throw you panties.
I wore my best
Sean, you're straight, but, you know, who knows?
I wore my...
It's Thursday cocktail.
Might make you go, I don't know. It's bi visibility week. I have a girlfriend. Oh.
Exactly. If this was ever an opportunity, Sean, it would be bi visibility week.
This is it.
This is what they call recruitment. This is what
just
this
keep,
is what the Christian writer is
worried
about.
Just to keep your girlfriend in line. Just exactly like, you know what? There's a lot of shit going on for me. I got a lot of choices. Okay. So, wait. All right. So, speaking of crying, apparently you were known for a lot of things, some of which I was not aware of.
Yeah. Some of that might not be true. I'm concerned. I'm really worried about what you're going to come up with. Because honestly, what's on there looks longer than more than I exactly on my resume. So I'm wondering where all that material is on that.
Paul Fitzgerald, yeah. American actor, director, and writer. Fitzgerald is best known for directing, writing, and starring in the film Forgiven.
True.
Yes, which was nominated for a grand jury prize at the Sundance Film Festival. Mm-hmm. Can you confirm that I cried not just through the entire film, but through your entire Q&A?
Yes, it's so true. Well, I mean, let's
be
honest. And
the whole film is not sad. It's just my tiny baby nephew.
Aww.
And Robert Redford loved his film, and he was at Sundance, and I couldn't handle the whole
thing. But I think the salient point here being together here today is the fact that you've basically underwritten my entire career with putting
true.
Me up
that's
and supporting me through the dark times and the lean times, as it were, the salad days.
Please. Yeah. Oh, please. Tiny baby nephew's living with me for a little while. He used to come out all the time for pilot season and stuff. But, you know, now he's based mostly in New York. But he is out here for a little while. So it's like, it is old home week.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The Barker Lounges are still there waiting for
us. I remember you told your friend once, and he was like, dude, you live with your aunt?
Yeah. I was like, you don't have any idea what goes on in that house. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry you don't have an aunt like me.
She's really cool. She lives in Hollywood. Yeah. It's not like it's not.
My favorite story is that talking about in the good old L Word days, which I hear is coming back, just being in the days of the L Word, being sandwiched on the couch, eating red, just rare red steak and red wine, just watching red, what, just on the just between my aunt and whatever lesbian lover was in the house that week.
Sorry, we have predetermined that there will be no names mentioned during this podcast.
I was about to drop,
but
a
we
name,
know
but
who
yes,
we mean.
We know who we mean. Wedged in between my aunt and her lesbian lover,
my long-term husband. Yes.
Good times.
When I raised you up from my knee. Mm. As a tiny a gay. Yeah. Now, all right, wait. So I don't even know where to start. Where do we start?
Now,
let's start with your birth.
Yeah.
Let's start with you and my sister's vaginal canal.
Oh, gosh.
Really? She did.
Well, that's where the story began.
True.
You know what? I didn't even know until I read Wikipedia is that you were born in... And we're a really bad aunt in some ways. Mm. The joke is that his younger sister went to Notre Dame, and now she's married with several kids. And I'll still be like, how's Kara doing at Notre Dame? And they're like, Aunt Steffi, that was...
Yeah.
Okay, I only said that. It was not just a couple years ago. It was a long time ago. I got a little fuzzy, Pauly, on the details.
No, listen, a lot to keep track of.
I did not realize you were born in New York City. Thank God for Wikipedia.
I was born in New York City.
Your dad was, he's an orthopedic surgeon, so that was his...
In residency in New
York.
Yeah, and so he was there, and of course, at St. Vincent's Hospital, which is no longer there, that was the big hospital, gained some notoriety on 9/11 that they were taking all the people to and so forth and so on. But anyways, it turned the way of condos and so forth. But I was born at St. Vincent's.
Yeah.
I don't think my dad was there. I think he was busy on call. My mother gave birth to me alone. In the hospital room.
Oh, pardon me. Is that Libby? I'm so sorry.
I say that. I don't know. I think it's busy being a doctor.
Libby's had such a hard life, married to an orthopedic surgeon, three perfect children.
It's been tough.
That was the joke in our family. Libby's perfect. We're like, well, we can't all fucking possibly be like Libby.
So true.
Great job. Right out of school. Married, handsome, amazing doctor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great teeth.
Yes. Beautiful.
Whatever.
She's gonna listen to this.
I told your dad that he's turned me gay. I'm like, I'm not gonna find that.
Yes.
Why even bother sucking dick?
What? Wow, this is no holes bar. I love it.
What?
Great.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to mention your father. This is already. What? You think I'd stop being inappropriate because it's my family?
Yes.
Well, no. Okay. anyway, but you were raised, of course, in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm told. And only I'm told because I've been there several times visiting you.
I love Lynchburg. I just came back from there. I was there. It was a gala, a benefit for our local arts academy. And I played some music and did some. We raised some money for the gala and so forth.
Yeah.
I love my hometown.
Yeah.
Great place.
Well, that's why, in case you were wondering if you're watching on the camera, why there's this guitar strategically placed behind him.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to play a little
That song. Will fly in, Sean, as they say in the movie business later. To play, he's a fantastic singer, Vanessa.
Oh.
I hope you didn't even bother wearing panties.
I wore my best ones.
He's a fantastic singer and songwriter. And you wrote a song about Virginia, about where you grew up.
Yes, yeah. I'm not going to play that. I'm going to play one today that I think is more, could actually end up being the theme song.
Well, he's being a little high maintenance. No, I'm going to play that, Steffi. Sorry.
No, I think you'll like this one. As I was playing, I was like, this could be a theme song for the Cocktail Hour podcast. I think you'll like it. Yeah. It's political and sort of wet all at once, if you will. Wet in terms of.
Wow.
You
know. All right. Well, fine.
It's a comedy show. It's more of a comedic.
I understand. Yeah. I enjoy the Virginia song.
Did you?
I'm just saying,
yeah.
It might, if we could push you for another one.
That's on
fine.
On my forthcoming album. I don't have a forthcoming album.
No.
I just like saying
no,
that.
That's bullshit.
No. But I'm going to play my hit single. I don't have a hit single.
All right. Wait, do we have the Veep thing to play or
we
no?
We do.
All right. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're reading the Wikipedia page, which, first of all, can I just say, is mostly hilarious to me in that I'm mentioned first before my father, who ran for vice president.
Well, you know what?
That's America today.
Pays to be current.
He's the nephew of progressive talk radio personality Stephanie Miller and the grandson of William E. Miller, who ran as vice president with Barry Goldwater. So his aunt tells fart jokes in her basement. His grandfather ran for vice president. Not important now.
And also ran.
Right?
Yeah. It's all right.
This is Donald Trump's America. Oh, the girl who tells the fart jokes and the dick jokes. I like her. His grandpa did what? All right, but anyway, Paul Fitzgerald, Vanessa and Sean, is best known for directing, writing, and starring in the film Forgiven, and for his roles in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, where he played one of the bearded dicks that fires everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I say, knowing you, you're such a sweet baby boy, and you play a really good fucking dick.
I make a lot
because you were a fucking dick in that film.
I make most of my money being an asshole.
Right.
I don't know what to make of it.
Right.
I mean, that's when I'm not raping and murdering people on crime shows, but otherwise...
Right.
Yeah, just a jerk, a class A jerk. But
right. Do you know how many times I've had a heart attack? Someone's like, oh my God, your nephew got killed. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. Camera again. Okay.
Dying for a living. You know what I mean? Dying for a living.
You're either killing someone or getting killed. Yeah, what's that about?
There's good money in crime. They say crime doesn't pay unless you're a mid-level working stiff actor. It pays the bills. I tell
you got killed on Law and Order again.
Okay. Oh, where do you see? Right. Chance for a plug. There's an SVU coming up. I meant to get a detail on this. An SVU coming up that I'm on. It's the third of the season. It starts on the 27th. So I think it's the middle of October, something, whatever that would be, the third Wednesday or whatever it is.
Right.
And all I can say is you won't want to miss it.
All right.
I'll just say this. The last time I was in SVU, I got ass raped.
Yes.
And this is considerably worse.
Wow.
So if you can imagine what is worse than getting... I was just an upstanding gentleman who stepped out on his wife for the weekend for a night of pleasure with a male hustler who then turned around and raped me.
Oh.
That was last 5 years ago.
Rude.
This time, it gets worse.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow, Paul. Yeah. You are, really old lady reference, you are Mr. Bill from Saturday Night Live. You were you are hired out to get the fuck beaten out of you.
A punching bag. Just
Mr.
a punching actor punching bag. Yeah. It's a good life, though.
That's so cute that all you millennials just laughed. Just like, Grammy. Okay.
Mr. Bill.
All right. So, right. But you, was that, okay, so who's the other famous actor that you were in Walter Mitty with that's
Ben
in the
Stiller.
Scene? No, but...
Oh, Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
Yeah, love
so
him.
What was there a Dreamy. Decision that you were all going to have beards?
Yeah, that was sort of... You know, if it's a bit of a...
It looked like the same dick.
I think it was a Brooklyn nod there. You know, beards became sort of the thing for a minute in Brooklyn. I probably spread out here as well. And so, yeah, the whole idea was like everyone was just trying to out-hip each other. I think they got to the point where Adam's beard was so thick that they had to like take some out and post or something. They had beard problems on that movie, but I thought it was a funny idea. Just the beard guy, like whoever's got the strongest beard is like the biggest a-hole.
It's a great scene. Ben Stiller comes in late and you're like, I'll start again.
He's the best. Oh, another plug. Brad's status. Ben Stiller movie. The blank looks are killing me. It breaks my heart. White.
I know the new Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that wasn't a blank look.
Oh my God. Dear friend Mike White, who I did a pilot with a couple years ago, HBO directed. Ben's the lead star of it, and it is one of the most sensational things I've ever seen.
I went last night. As Grandma was
going
to sleep.
It's a life experience more than a movie. There's no room for air. It's the most beautiful movie I've seen in a long time. Really great.
Ben is a big fan of Paul's, and they work together, obviously.
It's a killer team. Mike White and Ben Stiller. Can't beat it. Fred, what is it?
Yeah, Ben Stiller is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like to know something about Mary? You like the dog?
Yeah. Pardon. Sorry. I'm not used to people living here with me that can hear me talk to the dogs, Paul. I'm so sorry.
All day.
It's been a little...
Oh, is that long. The first... Does he
oh, my God.
You...
Our pizza's here already. Oh. I swear to God, Sean, I ordered it for five. Oh, the guy's sweet. Here with the thing. I'm so sorry.
I can't believe you know me so well and I've been doing this so long. You know I love Cheech's Pizza.
Oh,
another plug. This whole show's going to be plugged. Cheech's Pizza, Doug, yeah. The owner. Actually, I think he gave it to his daughter. Anyways, on Hillhurst. Best right. Pizza anywhere in the world.
Yeah. It's right there. He's really fucking early. So, all right. Well, but wanted to make sure tiny baby nephew was taken care of. All right. So, wait a minute. So,
And also, you're on Younger.
I'm going to guess
Younger.
That's...
Oh, yes. Younger?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I didn't realize you were related to... her, and I didn't make that connection.
Oh, she said that. Okay, like, yes.
But
we'll
also,
get to that.
Again, okay. Vanessa, another jerk, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're a cute jerk.
Cute jerk, thank you.
A really handsome jerk.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much. I must say that there's this scene at the end of one season, season three or something, where we sleep together again. Okay. It's okay, it's a spoiler, but it's seasons away behind us. And some of my friends were like, it was good, but like, why would she be so disgusted by sleeping with you? I was like, thank you. Why is that so gross to like sleep with this guy?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Is it that bad?
Right.
That was on the impression.
Listen, don't look at... What are you looking at me for? I'm a fucking aunt. Yes, of course it would be gross to sleep with you.
For you, yes.
I gave you a bath when you were a baby, I should point out.
Anyways, okay. Younger. Great
okay.
show.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Wouldn't kill me if they brought me back for another season. But anyways, go ahead.
So wait, that's... All right, I'm getting to this. We're skimming just
driving,
Wikipedia,
driving
Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I didn't even fucking know that. Who were you? Teenage Mutant. I don't go to that shit.
You know, I was, what's her name? Megan Fox's, as a little girl at the beginning, I was her father, and I die. That sort of triggers the whole movie. Again, I died.
Wow.
Got murdered in a ball of flames. But I'll tell you what.
John Fugelsang says Megan Fox is like the weather in Miami, hot and unpleasant.
I've heard as much. I didn't get to work with her. I can tell you it's not unpleasant as the young gal who plays her as a little girl who wound up on that, I just realized the other day, Tona, that series of unfortunate events, the Lemony Snicket thing on Netflix. She plays that little girl. She is the most adorable, sweetest tempered, like wonderful little actress. And I can't remember her name, but anyways, but that's, I played her dad.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
again,
fantastic.
Love it. Great experience. Love that franchise.
Wait, Guiding Light? What?
Guiding Light, yeah.
Wait, that's soap.
Oh yeah, I've been to the land of soap. I played what I like to call an OBGYN oncologist. I was a combination. I was responsible for both curing Reva Shane Lewis of cancer and delivering her baby that she had had with her brother-in-law after she was 55 years old or something.
Was your orthopedic surgeon father prouder than he'd ever been?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. You look at that footage. It's clear that my father was a doctor. I tried to listen to Reva's boob with my stethoscope to hear the cancer. My dad's like, you know what? You can't hear cancer, kid. So you might want to get. But of course, no knocking on Guy and Larry the Soaps. But it's not exactly like land of prime time where there's like medical advisors that are telling you how to do it. They're just like, here's a stethoscope. I don't know.
I played a nurse on a General Hospital. Yeah. So you know how fucking hard can it be? I won it in a radio contest and I was the radio host.
I felt like I'd won this job in a radio contest, and they let me let it go for, I mean, I was on it for maybe 100 episodes.
Oh.
It takes a long time to cure cancer and deliver a baby for a woman once she's in her 50s.
Oh, my career consisted of just this. Are you ready? Doctor, here are the charts.
Nailed it. Nailed it, folks. Yeah. Well, if you do it that well, you don't need to do any more, do you?
Yeah, that was it. I was out after that.
Don't you miss it. I mean, scripted TV, is anything better?
Fantastic. Also, I saw this too because it was on Broadway as in Noises Off.
Yes.
Which was a big Broadway production, ladies and gentlemen.
Broadway with Jane Curtin.
That was another crying thing. With Jane Curtin. Yes, it was another crying thing. I was like, my nephew's on Broadway. My nephew's on Broadway.
With Jane, didn't you?
Someone's like, you're fucking crying on my playbill. Could you stop? I'm like,
bless your heart. You came to New York. You weren't even in New York at that time.
No.
You've seen everything.
Tiny baby nephew was on Broadway.
That really was the coolest thing ever because I grew up not really so much idolizing, you know, television or film stars, but really I was fortunate enough that our parents took us to New York, being from New York. And so going to New York, you know, once a year and seeing Broadway shows was kind of my orientation to the business. And so the idea of getting to Broadway to me was the most exciting. That was the
not
top
entirely
the
my fault. You're an actor with my fucking little improv games. Libby, thank you.
A little bit. Annie made a big impression at 8 years old. And it was so crestfallen. I realized I'd never be in Annie. You know.
Right. Yes. Anyway. Yes. I understand you went to Northwestern.
Yeah. Wildcats. Go Wildcats. I'm a bit of a Northwestern fanatic.
Now, What was the name of the girl that you brought to my apartment in the middle of the night when I was doing Morning Drive on WCKG in Chicago? When you were at Northwestern, I recall there being a doorbell at, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning. And that was, do you remember?
I don't know. I thought we don't do names on the show.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. This is no name for names. I just, but it.
We don't drop them. We don't
say them. Ding dong. Stevie is lovely. And I'm downtown. This is before Uber. So, right. And can I have a friend with me? That was it.
I don't recall any of this, Your Honor. that was when you were on radio in Chicago.
Yes, doing Morning Drive. So you can imagine a doorbell right. at 3 in the morning was so
you had really gotten
welcome. Welcome. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. How many times, though, have I really just shown up at inappropriate hours or woken you up? Or, God, you put up with me. It's incredible.
I showed you in the pool again today. I'm like, I didn't want to fucking know what's happening there. Like Caligula, whatever. Okay, but you know how it works.
When Auntie goes out of town on the old sexy liberal tour, things get sexy around here, I can tell you. It's been good over the years.
Just make sure you put disinfectant in the pool, whatever's happening.
Look at him, like, come over, my aunt's out of town. Come on over. We got a hot tub the size of a pool. We got a steam shower. It's got multiple, any bed you want. We check out all the beds. We got exercise equipment, whatever you like.
Yeah, let's do it. You know what? He probably done shit on all of it, which is horrifying. All right, so.
That counter, that island in the kitchen was interesting.
Eat on there.
I eat on there too, but you know.
Oh, Jesus.
That's no lie. An old DJ on KCRW, actually. Again, who shall go nameless.
What? That's who you did on the center island in the kitchen?
We do
no names.
We do no names. We give just enough information to help.
Twitter's going crazy right now. Who's that?
What?
Yeah. All right. Anyone that's hurt him or hurt me, it's on our dead to us list. We can't remember their names.
Exactly.
I understand you also got your master's at the Old Globe, University of San Diego Drama School.
Yeah.
A very fancy for someone that fucked someone in my kitchen island and done God knows what.
That's amazing.
I went to see you in
classic
Shakespeare.
You went down
the Old Globe.
To Old San Diego. Yeah,
yeah.
I got
I've been everywhere.
Down there. God, you have.
I'm like your fucking roadie, man.
Yeah, well, you
like, everywhere crying. Just, oh, that's his fucking aunt.
Look at him. He's in Broadway. He's at the Old Globe. He's at Sundance. Me.
Like, it'd be the biggest ego trip this hour. Can we do this every week?
You know,
when you string it all together like this, it looks remarkably like a career.
It's crazy.
It has the vague sense of success when you talk about it all.
I was watching my nephew on YouTube today. I'm like, oh, I hadn't seen that. Oh, isn't that?
Aww,
I'm going to call it
so
quits
sweet.
After today. This is great.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right. So, some of these I hadn't, you know, Libby tries to send out the things.
I promise some of those are not mine. I don't think that I have a page worth of credits anywhere in the world, but we'll see. We'll see. You keep going.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Paul Fitzgerald's.
Helena from the Wedding.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a great independent movie.
I didn't
movie.
See that film, but I've heard of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With who?
I always forget how to say it. Gillian Jacobs,
okay.
The woman who's
on
that show, Love, and Corey. I'm really on the spotlight. Corey, you know that guy. He played well in House of Cards at the beginning. Bald headed guy or shaved headed guy. Corey Stoll. God, okay. that was a fail. Maybe we can fix that up in post. Corey Stoll. Fantastic actor, really great. Dominic from Musa, Lee Turgeson, Melanie Linsky. Really great cast of people. Yeah.
Crazy Like a Fox, Jackie Goldberg, Private Dick.
Yeah, sure.
What?
Oh,
huh?
Mary McDonald. Academy Award. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I don't know where that is. Helena from the Wedding is a little more accessible, but that's a good little independent.
Listen,
yeah.
Wait, speaking of House of Cards, so you were in a scene that I watched
from
The Good Wife.
From The Good Wife.
With the guy that plays the dickhead on
House
of Cards.
He's the greatest guy.
What's his name?
Michael.
He plays.
It's only because I'm so old.
On House of Cards, you know, the hitman.
Michael.
No, I'm sorry, hitman. He's chief of staff. Whatever he is.
He is the nicest guy in the world. He's
one
of the
greatest
actors
I've
ever worked with. Yeah, yeah. We'll get him on.
And also, what's the guy from Walter Mitty?
I hope to God it's Michael.
Michael Kelly?
Michael Kelly.
Yeah. Super, super sweet guy.
He is, what do you call
it? He's on House of Cards.
Political and fantastic. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're in a scene with him and Julianne Margulies.
He had a hot nude scene in House of Cards. I never saw it. He was like, he gets...
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy.
See House of Cards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Note to self.
Okay. All right. Well, how was Julianne Margulies? She's startlingly beautiful.
She's lovely. She is, and she is startlingly beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
How's Alan Cumming's great? It's a great group of people.
Yeah.
House of Cards. I mean,
yeah, I watched your reels today. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know he was in.
You accumulate a few credits in
because
20
years. I go to bed. I'm like, oh, you were in that? Okay, that's after I go to bed. But this was fantastic.
I'm not good at the self-promotion. I've done more self-promotion in the last, whatever, 20 minutes than I've done in my most.
Right.
I'm just not, but it's true.
There's so many people in this town that want to be actors, so many people ran to. And you know what? You actually have a really, really good body of work, and you're really good. Own it. That's great.
I know. But you're so sweet to say so. I really, it's like, I don't know what it is. You get it to a way, and you forget that. And I don't crap on my career, but like I don't think of it as remarkable, and I forget that, like, you know, it's been 20 years. Like, honestly, when I hear it all sort of ticked
like,
off like this
I
in one space,
that?
I'm like,
yes. Well, the Mentalist, Law and Order, Boardwalk Empire, Blue Bloods, Lights Out, Fringe, John Adams.
That's pretty solid.
The Americans, solid. The West Wing. I didn't know you did The West Wing.
No.
Or The Americans.
I got Americans, Another Death.
Uh-huh.
Another grisly
all
death.
Right. Oh, all right.
But not after getting it on with Carrie Russell in the bathroom.
Oh, well, that's worth dying for.
Carrie's a friend of mine from way back, so it's a little awkward to be like, so we're going to crush it here. And then it's like, so what can we do? What can I do? Like, where can I touch you? She's like, it's the American, because I hadn't seen the show. She's like, you can touch me anywhere. I was like, anywhere? She's like, yeah.
Oh, all right.
I'm like up in her backside and everything.
Wait, is that the scene that's on one of your reels?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I was like, I can't watch my nephew. He just put his hand up a woman's crack and lifted her up. And oh, Jesus.
It's TV.
I mean, I know it happens in my house. I haven't had to see it, you guys.
Yeah. You worked with some big names on some of the biggest shows on TV and in film. That's fantastic.
It gets lost in 20 years, like, because there's so much downtime, so much time you don't. And that's just the nature of a career. And it sometimes get, drowns in the sort of like, oh, it's not that much, but it's, but I'm
he's
I'm
brilliant.
Gratitude.
He's out here. Yeah. He's written a show. He's a brilliant writer. He's out here. To pitch a show, and whoever's listening in the business, you should fucking buy it,
it's
or
so
you know, someone else is gonna fucking get it, and then you're gonna fucking be fucked, man. I'm not saying that because he's my nephew.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my favorite thing in your personal life.
Oh, boy.
Fitzgerald was a member of the 1988 EC Glass high school football team that won the Virginia State Championship, because that's my favorite tape of you ever. Could you reenact yourself on the sports broadcast in 1988 when you won, because they were like asking you, Paul? So what you were not a wide receiver because you were too big. What's the
tight
thing?
End?
Tight end.
I would never be a wide receiver. No.
Listen, we're going to get to the bisexual thing in a minute.
I'll be the judge of that.
Oh my God, it was fucking hilarious.
The tight end thing
and one
is,
of those
is a gift that
goddamn
keeps
necks. They're like, Paul. He's like, well, I really feel like the game changed thing was.
that claim is that. I don't know where that clip is actually on my Vimeo page as well. That's it. The Boys of 88. Yes.
It was exciting.
I came. I said something like, I was just playing it for my lady friend not that long ago, and she was like, "You were a damn hick back then." Because I was.
Paul, what was the deciding play in the Virginia State Championship?
I was able to put a little bit of a move on that man, and fortunately, you know, I got into the end zone, and we were able to. I mean, just you sound like I sound.
He
a
meant that
high
differently in 1988.
A little bit of a move on that man. I never thought about that. It all sounds. You know, you're so. I was like a simple meathead of a high school kid. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, you got a microphone in front of you.
You could
have
played any high school jock in any like high school movie ever.
Absolutely.
Just like that's
the clip we should play. It's me, my interview in 1988. So, Paul, what happened out there in the field? Well, I was able to fortunately, Neil found me in the flat, and I was wide open. I was able to put a little bit of move on that man, and next thing I know, I was in the zone. I mean, I'm like, dumbass. Like, what happened to me? Like,
but you know what's interesting? It's like that might have been the genesis of your sort of, you know, political awakening, because you were a DENIAC. You were a progressive before it was cool.
Sure.
But I mean, a lot of your teammates were African American in the South.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you were teammates and friends. And so, like, you grew up with a different sort of.
I can tell you, one of the most disappointing things to me right now. So there's a whole group of people, you know, who I played football with, who I've stayed friends with, and people who are, you know, very fierce advocates of football at that level being, you know, a real connector in ways that, you know, we just a lot of times doesn't happen, you know, particularly in certain socioeconomic places in the South and so forth. But like on the playing field, everything's even, and your brothers and teammates with people whom, you know, you might not otherwise have been interacting with. And there's a lot of us who just feel strongly that's a character shaper and super important. And I tell you, I have just been astounded watching this whole you know, the Colin Kaepernick thing and the kneeling thing.
Yeah.
I've been astounded to see how few, I mean, almost none until this year, where this has gone for a couple, you know, white guys who have been able to get it and be like, I mean, now this is like a big deal to like stand next to a black guy who's kneeling, put your hand on his shoulder. For a white guy to do this is like radical. I'm like, what have you not learned? And presumably by the time you're playing the NFL, you've been playing football for 25 years, your life since you were a baby, with people, with black guys, people of different socioeconomic, like, You clearly have had the opportunity to let that affect you. How do you, how is it that there is not more than one white guy in the NFL who has let that experience affect his thinking about Black Lives Matter or about anything to do with it? It blows my mind. Now, you know, I've had friends in the NFL and it's business and I understand that, but it is the most disheartening thing because we thought that playing football in high school and throughout our entire growing up changed us and did change us. And now I see guys at that level who apparently weren't changed by it or weren't changed by it enough to let it change their actions, and I find it to be the most disheartening. Nothing has turned me off. I'm ashamed to admit it, but you know, all the crazy stuff about the NFL and the license they give for domestic violence. And all, I mean, the NFL is just a crooked entity, but nothing has upset me as much. Nothing has disheartened me and taken away my belief in the NFL more than the fact that like it hasn't spread across racial lines. This whole movement.
You know? Absolutely, not because you're my tiny baby nephew, but you should rent Forgiven or watch it because you know that came from it was an African American man that was unfairly convicted, and you were the white prosecutor that convicted him.
Yep.
And so people don't understand like how deep those feelings go for you, you know, politically and racially, right? Tell us about where that came from.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the thing that it's the movie's called Forgiven, and it's interesting because you know it was now it was at Sundance almost 11 years ago, and I look at you know things that are going on now in society, and you know I think where it really came from was me wrestling with this idea of and this a little bit goes into the football thing is like, what does it take for a person who is not in a vulnerable, marginalized position to really have empathy to someone who is? Like, if you look at that, if you look at that, or if you play football with them, or like does it ultimately? That movie is a meditation on the idea. Does something bad have to happen to you personally before you understand what someone else goes through?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As Joe White guy in the suburbs, does your kid have to be shot by a cop on a traffic stop before you're like, wait a second, something wrong? Like, unfortunately, there's this, you know, that movie is, people had, you know, various reactions to it. Some people hate it, some people love it. But like, ultimately for me, it was just about wrestling with this question of like, how do we get empathy? Because there's such a lack of it.
I almost tackled
a
couple people at the Q&A at Sundance. I was like, fucking give my nephew shit.
I mean, at the end of the day, what was invigorating about that in the Q&As, and we were fortunate enough to go around the country, around the world with it, and it was to hear, you know, what people thought about it. And it was just as interesting to hear people who had an adverse reaction to it and hated the movie as it was people who got it. Because it, you know, I don't want to say it was a tell, but it was kind of a tell. Like, that's what was the point. It's kind of to smoke out, like, what your feelings are about these kind of feelings.
I played a politician, not just in that movie, a politician. I mean, do you feel like our family, my dad, influenced that at all?
Definitely.
Politics and you were on the road for Howard Dean.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like, I always tell people, you know, it's interesting, like, growing up just with political paraphernalia on the walls and knowing that it was my grandfather. I just didn't ever think of politics or public officials in that way as other people. They were like my grandfather. They were like, so the idea of like, that's something someone else does, or that's a, you know, there's some, you know, disconnect between me and people who are politicians do that. I was like, just never existed. So I always thought like, I thought public service was a worthwhile, you know, worthy,
noble thing,
noble calling. And
certainly that's been affirmed by Donald Trump's election.
God bless him. Yeah, truly. You know, someone who just is doing it from the bottom of his heart, trying to help people. Mm-hmm.
But I can say, if I can ask real quickly, but given that you guys grew up, you know, your mom, you know, very conservative, still how did you
no,
guys?
No, Libby's been a big, his mom is a big Obama supporter. Yeah. Big,
growing up, was it, you know, a very open, kind of open-minded environment? Wasn't very, you know.
But your parents used to be Republicans.
They were Republicans like a lot of people used to be Republicans when there was some sanity left in the Republican Party, when your father was Republican, you know, and they migrated and evolved as the party changed, you know, as the party became more extreme, they migrated away from it. And,
so our family has fractured in that way. Mm-hmm. Libby and Mary, my other sister and I, are all But you're right, Paul. Like, you wouldn't call it even liberal. I mean, maybe.
I wouldn't call my
maybe.
Parents liberal. I would,
right,
I,
but you, I, I've been right, just sort of sane.
Sane, mainstream. Yeah. And yeah. That's, you know, honestly, that's the people where I'm from in Lynchburg, Virginia. Like, I consider that to be what it is. It's, you know, what we used to call mainstream Republicans or whatever. People not obsessed with social issues, for starters, and also not obsessed with, you know.
How old were you when Grandpa died?
I was 13.
And what do you remember of him?
I remember so much about him. You know, I remember, first of all, one of the few things in my life that I can ever say this about, like a kind of prescient moment where the last time he visited us, we all said goodnight, and he went downstairs, and I was having an admission to make on your podcast. I mean, Grandpa, you know, I was a bad kid. I mean, I was 13 at that time. I mean, you know, it was Virginia, so you're supporting an industry. I'm talking about the tobacco industry. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I had my first cigarette at 8 years old. And then, you know, so you're starting to
smoke. Grandpa was a smoker.
So Grandpa would come with the Merit lights, with the little the light blue pack. And he'd pack 8 or 9 packs in his suitcase.
Yes,
sure,
of course
shit,
he would. Yeah.
Like little dirty-ass grandson. I'd go down there and grab a pack or two because who was he going to say? First of all, I don't know if he actually counted. I don't know if he's going to call me
Paul
out.
Your point, Paul, is I stole
cigarettes from Grandpa.
Cigarettes from my father.
From Grandpa. That's the first admission. But
that's not in your Wikipedia.
But this time, I wasn't going downstairs to his guest room to steal cigarettes. I was going downstairs because he said goodnight to everyone. We were all upstairs, and he said goodnight. And he went downstairs, and something in my 12 or 13-year-old self, I mean, he died in 1993, so I was 13. I don't know if it was the beginning of that year then. But anyway, something in me said, you know what? And this was before the health or anything. He was just visiting us. I said, I think this is going to be the last time we see my grandfather, which is weird in a way because he was 69 years old. He was healthy.
He came to my USC college graduation, and he was. They said to me, Daddy's going in for a test.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were like, oh, okay, you know, and
it was so out of the blue. I remember I went downstairs, and some voice inside of me said, go down, give him another hug. This is going to be the last time you see him. I went downstairs, and just, you know, he's literally like walking to the guest room. I was just like, Grandpa, and I just said goodbye upstairs. So I was like, I just want to say goodbye again. I just gave him a hug, you know? And sure enough, that was the last time I ever saw him. But I remember sitting around the dinner table with my dad and him and whomever would be gathered. Sometimes we'd have friends over because people wanted to see him when he was in town. And, you know, he wasn't ostentatious at all. You kind of had to draw him out. But once you get him talking about stuff, he wanted to talk about politics and share stories and stuff like that. And I just, as a kid, was just on the edge of my seat, you know. And of course, that's one of the things as I grew up and became more legitimately interested in politics. God, you know, you think, oh, what I wouldn't give to ask, because, you know,
what would dad think of this,
so much more I would have drawn him out about if I had known more what to ask. But I was hanging on his every word.
I mean,
special.
Paul, I'm older than you, and he was my dad, and I still think, God damn it, I didn't ask him about Nuremberg. Yeah. I didn't know enough about it, or know like how he was part of it, or you know, but I wasn't even political. I mean, I was a theater student at USC like you were.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, I'm going to be Carol Burnett. I don't really like But yeah, I mean, it isn't interesting. No, I mean, my dad, when he came out for my graduation, I mean, it's the last time not last time I went back, but he sat on my bed and said, you know, as long as I'm alive, I'll take care of you. And
so he went
back, and he actually put the test off for my college graduation. And then right when they got back, my mom called and said, you have to come home.
So you were 22 maybe at the time?
21.
I forget. Yeah, I forget how young you were.
They had a clot going in, and it sprayed clots all over his body. And we came back, and I came back, and he's like, how long are you here for, honey? Yeah. I was like, you know, until you get better, Daddy. Yeah. And he was dead within 2 weeks.
I forget you were so young.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just...
It's also
weird.
Like when you're young, 6'9", you're like, oh, that's old. And then
no,
I know. You get older, and you're like, 6'9",
no, the
is
test,
nothing.
The test, so... like, caused him to, I mean, caused his death, and it was shocking. He was at a party the night before the test, and so, I mean, but you know what's so interesting? Because I remember Kara, your sister is how much younger than you?
Like 18 months?
Yeah, like 2 years. No, I remember we all at that point were so relatively young, and I'll never forget at the wake, Kara, because she was a kid then. Yeah. She was a kid, and I remember standing next to me, next to the casket, and she said, can I touch him? And I didn't know what to say, because I was like...
Yeah, first time funeral.
Oh, okay. And she just, like, she's a little girl, and she's just like, oh, he's so cold. And I just remember that moment, because I thought we all were just sort of, you know... So sort of in shock, and I mean, I just, I mean, it was a lot, right?
It gives you perspective of Grandma, too. I mean, really, I was, you know, I can remember being in my 20s, meet people in their 40s, thinking, dude, it's done for you. You're ancient. You're in your 40s. I mean, wherever old you are, people were a little old. Yeah. It's like, and then yeah. you get older, you're like, 69 is nothing. And I
my
think,
mom
like,
wasn't
time,
much older than I am yeah. when she lost my dad. Think she was
how long
59 or 60. Yeah.
Poor grandma had to be without, you know, the love of her life. It's
yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, all right. So let's just move on from that because that's an easy segue. But let's. Aww. We talked about about coming out Christmas. But you yeah. did the "I Am Visible" campaign. You. That's what I looked at online. I didn't know you appeared as a bisexual character in Law and Order. But you and I have had this conversation all our lives because there are perceptions of bisexuals that you just are afraid of commitment yeah, because yeah. you're 46, about to turn 47, and you've never been married, and so I remember you and I talking about that. Like, bisexuals often, or yeah. people afraid of commitment often try both sexes. And you actually said to me, you said, I think being able to own that I am truly bisexual has actually made me less afraid of commitment. And yeah. now you've been with Chelsea, yeah. your girlfriend, for 2 years, yeah. right? Which is for yeah. you is very long.
And dog years. Most of yes. life, it seems like.
Yes. And it was a year before that. Well, she was your roommate. Yeah, and yeah.
And,
yeah.
And migrated. You know, the bedrooms were awfully close.
Well, you know, bedrooms. You know, there's no border. We don't believe in borders here.
I got painted,
no walls, no borders.
In by physical proximity. Next thing I know, I'm in a loving relationship with you. A loving relationship.
I've never seen you so sort of centered and happy. Yeah, and
She's the best. She really is great. Yeah, I mean that I would go back to your first point though. You know, it's a funny thing. You know, there has been such long-standing narratives about bisexuality and bisexuals, you know, attendant yeah. to what you just yeah. said and so forth. And what's interesting to me is that I get around younger folks and people who are less hung up about things, and it's a dangerous thing in sort of the identity politics arena is that you adopt the narratives that you sort of grow up and come of age with, yeah. and you find yourself sort of hanging on to them as sort of identity sort of like narratives, and you realize a lot of people don't have those things anymore, or really don't share right. those things anymore. Well, and so I find myself sort of, you know, contextualizing or qualifying or in some ways just excusing or explaining bisexuality, and I realize I'm sometimes looking at younger people who are like, I don't know why you explain this to me. This isn't a thing for me. And I realized it's because that's generationally that we're from a generation that was the first wave right. of like gay folks who were just like had more kind of definitive barriers
but
around their identity.
Don't you feel like that's the next, I hope the next wave is no labels, just no.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I think that you've sort of, you know, you've talked about that a lot, that for a while you were afraid, like, okay, if I'm in a woman, everyone's going to go, oh, well, see, that was just a phase. And yeah. if I'm with a man, they're going to go, oh, see, he was always gay.
Yeah.
And I think our friend Monique and you got into a thing. And I fight with her all the time because she has this, like, oh, men are just on the way to gay. They're doing that. And women are just fooling around. They're really straight.
School.
And
yeah.
as someone who's had her heart shattered
yeah.
by a woman, as you know, who was, I would say bisexual, but maybe didn't identify yeah. as that. But I would go, by the time someone tells you you're the love of their life more than their husband, they want to marry you,
yeah.
like, she's not playing.
Sure.
I don't think she's playing around. I mean, whatever it is happened. But I thought, like, same thing that you've said. Like, that's bullshit to just go, oh, every guy is just on their way to gay yeah. and every woman is just fucking around. They're really straight,
right,
you know.
Right, right, right.
And I thought it's more complicated than that, isn't it?
It's more complicated than that. And I think to your point about my point, which is that until you really accept yourself and accept that, it is impossible because you're kind of playing the narratives off each other. But if you can be a woman in love with a woman and not worry about what that implication is and not feel like that's what's defining you, it's going to be a hang up for you, you know?
Right.
And that is the kind of the label quandary that right. we get. I mean, labels are important as a sort of stage to grow through, but yeah, ultimately, but I think
isn't also a freedom of who the fuck cares what anyone thinks? Like, oh, I'm with a woman and, you know, oh, okay, so now you're straight, or oh, I'm with a man,
yeah.
so that means you're, you know, I yeah. mean, it's almost like you said, being able to fully embrace that I am still a bisexual.
Yeah.
Whether I'm with a man or a woman is what freed you to be able to commit.
Yeah.
To go, like, I don't fucking care what anyone thinks. You know, this yeah. is who I love.
Yeah, it's a big deal because, you know, then you're not, you know, ultimately, you know, whether we like it or not, identity is a real thing. So that if your identity is switching based on who you're with, that's confusing for yourself and everyone else. But if you have an identity that is not changing, in other words, like bisexuality is yeah. not changing based on who I'm with, then that allows me to be with those people. If I'm like, feel like being with a woman is some kind of like straight ties me, which is the last thing in the world I would ever aspire to be, or gay me, like then that's sort of like
right.
a hindrance. That's a factor yeah. in whether I want to be with this person. That shouldn't be the case.
You know, my theory for a while was yeah. that you were both, your bicoastalism had to do with your bi. it's like, it seems like you're with men in LA and women in New York.
That's so funny you say it because it actually was the reverse. My friends used to say, Paul's gay in New York and straight in Los Angeles. And I was like, anecdotally, but there's some people who beg to differ.
But, I mean, you know, but I think it's, you know, that's such a powerful thing right now, particularly in the threat we're all under right now. It's
yeah.
just that, you know, you love who you love.
Yeah.
Because with the Supreme Court, like, we yeah. don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Right.
Right now. I mean, you know, we have a stolen Supreme Court's, you know, seat that could actually flip, take rights away from people that already have them.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, but yes, I guess yeah. that's possible.
Well, you know that I don't, I have the right now, technically, but I don't have anyone that wants to marry me because of my, we've talked about it. Anyway, my various personality. Anyway, my point.
We'll get you on Tinder.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think we're going to see that. I was laying in bed last night thinking about this. I wasn't thinking about this apropos of being on today, but I was thinking about the fact that, of the script I've written, which is kind of a mashup of sort of a satire of the wellness
right.
industry in the same way that Veep is of politics.
It's hilarious. Buy it now, or someone else is going to win an Emmy.
I was thinking of this. I don't know if you've caught wind of this whole, you know, I mean, this is starting to get into the zeitgeist, this whole idea that white, you know, whiteness is a yeah. an identity, is a creation. It doesn't
yeah.
exist, right? It's just something created by people to sort of create otherness from other people. And, you know, I think we're going to, and these things happen so quickly because the times we're living in with social media and our connectivity. I think we're going to watch we're going to live through the end of whiteness, and we'll probably end through the end of gayness and straightness. We're going to live through the end of a lot of these things, which are kind of created barriers that don't really,
yeah.
you know, or signifiers in a way that is ultimately not that meaningful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Might this guitar that's behind you
oh, yeah.
fly in?
Let's do this.
All right. Vanessa, just brace yourself. Because things are obviously fluid, as you know. My nephew is not only a hugely talented actor and writer and director, he's also a singer and a songwriter.
Is this hot as well over here?
I don't know. Is that mic hot?
Yeah.
Is this good?
Yes.
I like to say this is my version of like singing songwriting. It's like my kind of like my
yeah.
midlife crisis. I didn't have the money.
All right.
Nor is it,
let's
like
do
the,
it.
The 1980s. So I didn't go out and buy like a red Corvette and get like a
By the way, did we discuss that your significant other is much, much younger than
yeah,
you are?
She's young.
Yeah. She's about 20 years younger.
21, but who's counting?
No, she's not 21.
21 years younger.
Oh, 21 years younger, everybody. Listen,
this could be this is a karaoke opportunity. I get the cheese is really good for your voice before you sing it.
Yep.
Feel free to use this as a theme song. I'm prone to falling off the wagon, and don't mean to sound like I'm bragging, but club soda tastes kind of bitter, and I ain't never been that much of a quitter. Now my doctor says these are angry times, and anger's connected to your state of mind. He says your state of mind's connected to your attitude, and son, your attitude ought to be gratitude. So thank you, I'll have another.
Yes.
I don't remember when it started, when all the goodwill departed. I guess now they say the good old days weren't always so good in a lot of ways. But bartender, I'm gonna sit right here and let me make myself perfectly clear. The world outside is like a battleground. Before I dive back in, I want one more round. So thank you, I'll have another. I'll have another. And while you're at it, pour one for my brother. He'll have another, 'cause that's the only way that he and I can stand each other. See, I lean to the left and he leans to the right, and
what?
We've been fighting like the Irish the whole damn night. The
only time we ever seem to get along is when we're drinking and singing a jukebox song. So thank you, I'll have another. And while you're at it, pour one for my brother. He'll have another, 'cause that's the only way that he and I can stand each other. See, I lean to the left and he leans to the right. We've been fighting like the Irish the whole damn night. The only time we ever seem to get along is when we're drinking and singing a jukebox song. So I don't care if we sound off key, I don't give a damn if we disagree about the price of freedom or Chinese tea. As long as you're willing to sing with me. Here's a karaoke part.
Here we go.
Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum. Good times never seem so good. So good.
So good.
So good.
Thank you. I'll have another. Little generational. Caroline, I'll have another. And while you're at it, pour one for my brother. Cause that's the only way that he and I can stand each other. See, I lean to the left and he leans to the right. And we've been fighting like the Irish the whole damn night. The only time we ever seem to get along is when we're drinking and singing a jukebox song. So thank you, I'll have another. I'll have another. Let's have another.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, baby.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo.
That seems like a good choice.
No, no, you're not done. You're not done. Oh, my God. My handsome, tiny baby nephew, everybody. That was fantastic. I want to hear the Virginia song. Can I?
All right.
Can I? All right. He grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia with my oldest sister, Libby. One of three kids in Lynchburg, Virginia, and he's become this amazing man that makes me cry all the time. He's so smart and handsome, romantic,
and
talented,
your proud auntie.
Moral.
Aww.
Here's a little thing about his childhood. Here we go.
I learned how to read and write there. Learned how to smoke and drink. I learned how to walk like a man and how a man should think. I had my first fist fight there back in 1982. He hit me, I hit him. There was nothing else to do. There was nothing we could do. Now I love my mom, love my dad, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. But when I fly away, Lord, by and by, I'm gonna miss Virginia most, yeah. I'm gonna miss Virginia most. Now if you don't love the Blue Ridge Mountains, don't make a damn difference to me. If you can't recognize the truth, well, the truth can't set you free. This old house has been painted over since the goddamn Civil War. Turn up the Southern Sun and the REM. My God, I want some more. I want some more. And I love my mom, I love my dad, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. But when I fly away, Lord, by and by, I'm gonna miss Virginia most. I'ma miss. Most. I know why the black and white folks sometimes can't get along. But if you ain't read your history books, I can't explain it in a song. But down on Monument over there in Richmond Town, beneath Stonewall and Robert Lee, a friend of mine the other day asked me, what do you think we see? What do you think we see? I learned how to read and write here. Learned how to smoke and drink. I learned how to walk like a man and how a man should think. Well, I had to rethink some things later on down the line. I ain't got it all figured out just yet, but the good Lord knows I'm trying. You gotta know I'm trying.
As always, I'm going to end this crying. This man is not just my nephew. He's not just talented and amazing. He is the kindest, most amazing man. I'm so proud of you, sweetheart.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you all
this
my life.
This is the Mutual Proud Society. You know how
all
much.
My life. I'm so proud of you. Oh, my God. It's just honestly just not everything that you are. It's just you're the man that you are and you've become, and I just love you so much, sweetheart.
I love you too. Thanks for always being there for me.
Oh, sweetheart, you too, me. How do we whatever, how do we promote you? How do we whatever, what's your website?
What are we plugging?
Something. What's your
I think we've done a lot of plugging. Yeah. I think we're good.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you too, sweetheart. And my tiny baby nephew, Paul Fitzgerald, everybody.
Oh,
the best man in the world. I love you, sweetheart.
Love you. Thank you for having me on. It's been
Thank
an honor.
Thank you so much.
So good.